Good morning. I'm glad each and every one of you are here today. Because without you, well, there'd be nobody here. But you're here, and you're a blessing from the Lord that you're here to this day. Now, for those of you that are married, even for those of you who hope to get married, especially you guys, in-laws, I'll just say it right now, they're wonderful people. Uh-oh, what? I see by the reaction, what? No, you're crazy. No. My mother-in-law and I, man, we just, okay, well, I feel sorry for you, right? I had a wonderful set of in-laws. See, my wife's not in here, so I'll talk soft here. Good. So when I asked her, actually, I asked her parents first before I asked my wife for her hand in marriage. My father-in-law goes, it's about time. I need to get her off my hands. No, he was just joking. No. See, my in-laws, they were bilingual. They both grew up on what we call the west side of San Antonio, the AKA the Barrio. They're Hispanic background. And so, me, I had a buddy at work who's Hispanic, and I says, okay, ask me, how do I ask for my wife's hand in marriage, you know, in Spanish and everything. So he wrote it out, and man, I practiced, and then I asked them in Spanish and everything, and they were just laughing. Gringo trying to speak Spanish, I get it. But they were wonderful people, and in front of me, they'd always speak English. Unless it was something they didn't want me to hear, and then they'd speak in Spanish, right? And then one day, they were talking in Spanish, and I picked up just enough Spanish. It was just individual words, right? So I could start putting the information together. I says, oh, so you need information or whatever. And my mother-in-law goes, oh, you know Spanish now, right? She was really shocked. But my mother-in-law was a real blessing. And whenever, you know, we needed somebody to watch our kids, I mean, we just go there and drop them off. We didn't have to call, just go drop them off. And sure, they welcome in. They welcome them in and everything. And every once in a while, I would hear, oh, here comes those Overmiller boys again. Yeah, my little darling boys. But you may be thinking, well, why are you talking about mother-in-laws here? Well, anybody who's been married has had a mother-in-law. And in Matthew chapter 8, so if you have your Biblias here, your Bibles, if you would, turn over to Matthew chapter number 8, and we're going to pick up here in verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in bed and with fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left. And she got up and waited on him. Awesome. Now, Did Jesus say anything to her? Did he like go, Peter's mother-in-law, your sins are forgiven, you're healed, or anything? So what did Jesus do? He just touched her hand. And she was healed. And I know sometimes we focus on, oh man, that's awesome, right? But what does it further say? He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she did what? She got up and waited on them. Seriously, how many of you have been sick? You had fever, the fever broke, and what do? You just still lie in bed. Oh, I got to get my strength back. I got to do whatever, right? And then tomorrow I'll get up and start, you know, taking care of the family. And no, she got up right away. This was not just any healing. She did not need to convalesce. She didn't need to wait. She had all of the energy. Sorry about that, Davey. I'm not going to move it. I'm not going to try to walk through the narrow gate on this either, okay? She just got up and started serving. What a mindset. How many times has Jesus healed you or I, and we just immediately get up and continue going about the kingdom business? She just got up and just started serving. Like, nothing to it. I think that's amazing. I don't know about you. I think that is amazing. And it was Peter's mother-in-law, no less. I mean, you've read some stories about Peter, right? Yeah. I can relate to Peter, okay? One day I'm over here on this spiritual high, and the next day I'm way back over here saying, Jesus, Jesus who, right? I get it. But here he has a mother-in-law, because when I ask you about your mother-in-law, you guys started giggling, laughing, and everything else because you know about your mother-in-laws. Here, a mother-in-law to Peter had no qualms. She just got up and started serving. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That healing power didn't just get her healed. It gave her the strength and the power to get up and go about doing the tasks and the business she was supposed to do. I want you to know today, when Jesus heals you, he just doesn't barely get you past the finish line there of your healing. He gets you well past that. When you get healed from Jesus, when you get that touch from Jesus, you are healed. You're ready. Get up and let's go. Don't use it as an excuse. Well, you know, I need to take a day to recover from being sick. Uh-uh. Mother-in-law didn't. And a mother-in-law got up and she even served her son-in-law. Wow. Wouldn't you love to have a mother-in-law who would do that for you? Yeah, I could see now. Yeah, that'd be nice, right? Hey, this was a beautiful thing. And all Jesus did was touch your hand. You know, if you've been saved for a while, you'll know. And if you've ever gone to different kind of prayer meetings, healing services and stuff like this, I don't know if you have. Man, people, they want to pray forever to get you healed. All Jesus did was touch them. Now, since he's our role model, right? We don't have to do a lot of stuff. You can say, Jerry, how you doing, brother? You just lay a hand on them. You're healed in Jesus' name. Walk off. You don't have to go into this whole diatribe on how to get somebody healed, because Jesus is a role model. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'm going to go one step further with this.
What day of the week did he heal Peter's mother-in-law? Any guesses? Since I teach, I'm used to a little more interaction here. You know that. On the what? Sabbath? Ain't that illegal? No, I got a no, I got a yeah. In the Jewish religion, you can't do squat on the Sabbath. I mean, you had to count out the steps that you would take to go to the temple and back. What? Yeah, if you didn't know this about the Jewish customs, man, you could only eat in certain foods, and the men especially, they would count out, this is how many steps I took to get to the temple, how many steps I got home, then I sat, and then, oh, I had to get up, oh, I'll wait and wait, and then I finally get up and then go to the kitchen and get something. They were very, very particular about this because it was rest on Sabbath, no work. But here we see Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law on the Sabbath, and he just touched her, and she just got up and started serving. On the Sabbath, no less. Oh, my goodness. Think about all the things that are taking place right here. Think about all the rules, the Jewish rules, that are just being broken here. You're working by serving people, right? Getting healed. Guys, healing is not work for Jesus. It's just another Tuesday. What? Yeah, it's just another day of the week for Jesus. It's not work. That's the beauty about the God we serve. You are not work for God. You are not work for Jesus. When he looks at you, he doesn't go, oh, man, angels, can you go take care of Carrie over there? Oh, man, he's wearing me out. Now, God doesn't do that. God goes, that's nothing. I mean, think about it. He's the God who created the heavens and the earth. You think him protecting you, overlooking you, walking beside you, listening to your whining, your complaining, your praises, your glories, all these things is a problem for him? No. Do you think God took a rest from walking beside you to encourage you, to send his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you, to teach you? Woo. You think that was work? No. That's just another day of the week. I want you to know that our God doesn't take vacations. He doesn't take breaks. I mean, who is that? Elisha and the Baal prophets, right? He said, hey, is Baal, you know, is he on vacation or something, you know? Yeah. Our God doesn't take a break. And when he heals you, he doesn't expect you to take a break. He expects you to get right back in doing kingdom work, kingdom business, because it's all about the kingdom. What? Some of you had never heard this before, I can tell. I can see the expression on your face like, this is a foreign language or something. No, this is what you're created for. Kingdom work, kingdom business. Yes, you may actually have a job and you have to go to it to supply for your family and all, but it's really God supplying for your family. Understand it. He's given you the wisdom, the strength, and the ability to work, to supply for the needs of your family, but it's him giving that to you. Woo! He's blessed that with you. All right? He's blessed me with the ability to teach, so I teach. All right? And I get blessed by it. All right? I get paid for it, and I'm not talking about here either. I get paid for it. And that's why I show up every day. You know? You see, you got to understand, we are all about kingdom business. When you bow your knee, humble yourself before God, and say, God, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come and dwell within me. And he gives you the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of each and every one of us. And it's the Holy Spirit's job is to teach you and to instruct you in kingdom business. Oh, I know you ain't been taught that. I don't know why. But that's why, that's your purpose here. You are here today to know that your purpose is to do kingdom business, the kingdom of heaven. It's not to do your own thing. Yes, God grants us latitude to do our own thing, but it's all about doing kingdom business. It's all about loving God and loving people. It's all about seeing, and I love that thing about the share house. Gary's talking about the lady that he saw in prison. He ministered Jesus to her. She gets out, and then she's homeless for a while, finally gets an apartment. Now she's up at the share house wanting to get pots and pans and clothes, all of that to get back into life. See, that's kingdom business. That's showing forth the love of Jesus to people. That's us not walking by people. No, that's sharing Jesus. You see, that's our purpose. That's what we were created for. That's why you want people at your job to come to you and say, you're a Christian, aren't you? And you tell them, yes, I am. Now, I know it's a loaded question, so you're kind of, where are you coming from? And then they go, can you pray for me? Sure. You want me to pray for you right now? Or later? What do you want me to pray about? You see, you're doing kingdom business. And you got to make yourself available for kingdom business. You see, that's serving Jesus is kingdom business. So when Peter's mother-in-law got healed, she got up and she served them. Because it's all about kingdom business. It's not about him doing her own thing. It's not about, oh, look at me, I was sick with fever, oh, me, oh, my. Uh-uh. I got touched by the great physician. So I'm getting up, taking care of kingdom business, because that's my purpose. Ooh-wee. You're going, man, brother. Hey, originally, pastor only gave me 4 verses. And then I asked him, 4 verses? I can preach on that for 45 minutes. And he goes, oh, no, 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 I'll give you a few more. All right. So you can thank him. So in verse 16, when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with what? A word. Ooh. And some were healed, right? Well, come on. You guys are a little slow here this morning. I can get a little bit louder if I need to shake you out of your seats here. All were healed, not some. That's the beautiful thing about our Creator and our Redeemer, about Jesus. You come to Jesus and ask him for healing, you're going to get healed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. When you get on your hands and knees and say, Jesus, heal me, then believe and act like you've been healed. That's what the mother-in-law did. That's why she got up and started serving. She's going back kingdom business. She was acting and living and doing the things that she was healed. Oh, Jesus, he'll heal me in due time. Yeah, he can. But you've already said that. You've already told Jesus in due time. No, you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you ask Jesus to heal you, then act like you're healed. Amen. Get up, get moving, and get working for the kingdom. So here, what? Why did it take so long for people to be brought to? It says in the evening time. Now, why did they wait to come into the evening time? because Jewish days begin at 6 in the evening. Yeah, and end there. So it was the next day. Oh, so it was actually Sunday morning. Oh. So they go from the Sabbath, which is Saturday for the Jews. So that was Sunday morning. But it was like, you know, after 6 o'clock on Saturday. So it's Sunday morning. That's when they said, okay, now we'll bring all these people to Jesus. And did Jesus disappoint? No. He healed every single one. He didn't ask him, I don't know, have you asked the Father for forgiveness of your sins? Did he ask that question? No, what did he say? He healed them all. With what? A word. Now, I know I'm going to steal Tyler's thunder for next week. But I just got to mention this. Because next week you're going to find out, Jesus tells his disciples, hey, get on the boat, we're going to the other side. And they get over there, and then they're going to come across two demon-possessed people. And you'll notice, Jesus never says a word. They come out of the tombs and says, why are you here? To torment us? He doesn't say a word. Then they turn and says, if you're going to cast us out, can we go into those swine? And all Jesus says is this. Go. What? Go. One word. One word from the healer. In fact, so he healed the mother-in-law without saying a word. He cast out the demons with just saying one word. And I'm going to tell you. And when he comes back again, he's going to say one word, and it's all going to be done. See, that's our God. That's our God, people. He's not going to waste your time, my time. He's really right to the point. When they asked Jesus, I'll touch on what Pastor read last week. The leper. In verse 2, I know you don't have it, so you forgive me. Chapter 8, verse 2. And a leper came to him and bowed before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, can you make me clean? Now, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper. Well, number one, not in Jewish tradition, thou shalt not ever touch a leper. It's like that's the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not touch a leper. What did Jesus do? He touched the leper. And what did he say? What did Jesus say? I am willing. When you ask Jesus, because you're not too sure, Jesus, if you're willing, please heal me. Jesus is going to say this. I am willing. Be cleansed. Be healed. You see, what kind of faith does that take? Yeah, that's mountain-moving faith, people. Mountain-moving faith. That leopard, Jesus says, I'm willing. Be cleansed. You see, he didn't go into a diatribe of anything. He didn't go into anything else. Why? Because when you come to Jesus, number one thing takes place. Humbleness. You see, that is the hardest thing for humans. This is why humans have a hard time getting answers from God, because they have a hard time humbling themselves to go to God. But that is the only way that you can get into the throne room of God, is you must humble yourself. Some of you guys know this verse off your top of your head. You know, you humble yourself and pray and seek my face. I will hear from heaven and pour out a blessing. Right? You see, what do you have to do? You have to humble yourself. That leper, his friends loved him so much, dropped him down from the rooftop. Right in the presence of Jesus. Yeah. Awesome. The centurion. A heathen. Only has heard about Jesus. But he understands authority. And he knew Jesus was a man of authority.
Ooh.
And the centurion asked him, Can you heal my servant? Jesus says, I will come. And the centurion says, No, you don't have to come. Your word. Just send your word. That's how much this heathen, I mean, he's a centurion. Now, he may have accepted Jesus Christ. I don't know. Maybe after this, probably fully did. I don't know. But he had so much trust, and you think a Roman centurion to ask somebody for help? Think about that. Roman soldiers don't ask for people for help. They chop their heads off. They beat the tar out of you and stick you on a stake. That's what they do. That's who they are. But he had recognized authority. And not from earth authority. He recognized a heavenly authority. He says, No, you don't have to come to my house. Just send your word. My servant will be healed. Woo! Don't you think that touched Jesus' heart? He says, sure. Go on home. They're healed. Beautiful. Beautiful. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. You got to understand, Jewish wear, the clothes, they were squared. They had four corners. Pulls over the top, had four corners, had little tassels on them, tzitzis. And she was on the ground and just touched the end of that tzitzi. And Jesus can feel the power leave in his body. And she was healed. Oh, she was scared. He says, turn around, who touched me? Well, all these people are mobbing you, Jesus. They're all touching you. No. I felt the power leave me. Who touched me? She's like, that was me. Oh, my. That's the God we serve. It's not big and it's not flamboyant. He's not doing a production. He's not doing any of those things. Just send the word or just a touch. That's all it takes from our Creator. That's what he loves you so much. He cares for each and every one of you so much. That's all it takes. Verse 17 says, this was to do what? Fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. If you will hit Isaiah, was that 53? I'll flip over here. Yeah, there it is. Now, starts with verse 4. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But, we always like that word in there, but. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastising for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. See, they're speaking of the cross. Think of those words that are being used. Pierced. Scourged. Yeah. He was beaten and bruised For what? For you and I, so he can bear on him our transgressions, our sins, our iniquities. But not just that. Your flu, your allergies, your broken bones, you getting hit in a car crash. He bore all of that on him so that you can be healed today. And what a witness you have. Because you got touched by Jesus. And that touch, you are strong now. You're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You are strong now. So you get up and do what? Go about kingdom business. Stop going about your business. Do the work of the Father. Because why? He laid his life down for you and I. He bore your sicknesses and your sins, your diseases, your illnesses. He bore all that at the cross. So you right now, today, can go about kingdom business. That's your purpose. If you want to know what your purpose is, it's going about the Father's business. And the Father's business is kingdom business. Woo! Yes. He fulfilled that. That's what Matthew is saying right there in verse 17. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. All right, guys. It's a Sunday morning, basically. Let's go. We need to head to the other side. Now, verse 19. Then a scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Right? Doesn't that happen to people, especially when God's done something in their life? "Jesus, you just tell me what you want me to do. I will do it because, man, what you did for me," right? Yeah, we all have done that. If you haven't, you probably should have then. Now get this. Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." I'll tell you what. You're just reading this along, just reading it, going. And you're going, what? This comes out of nowhere. What? The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What does that mean? Does anybody in here have an idea of what that means?
He's homeless.
Jesus is drawing crowds of 5,000, 3,000. You know, he has to call ahead for a room at the Marriott, right? Up on the, you know, fifth, sixth floor. Make sure that you got a fresh bouquet of flowers in there. You know, and I need a nice on ice bottle of sparkling water in there. You know, flavored. What's my flavor of the day? Yeah, right? You think that's how Jesus lived? Unfortunately, a lot of you already know where I'm coming with this. Because you know way too many people that are going about kingdom business and thinking that's how the lifestyle they're supposed to live. Amen. See, and this is what this scribe was wanting. "I'll follow you everywhere, Jesus," because he recognized, man, here's the people coming. Oh, the great things. See, he's used to the old Jewish ways. Man, those scribes, those Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees, man, they had their own little school and had all their own little followers. They're like little ducks in the line, you know, walking right behind them wherever they go. And they go from one town to the next, and because, you know, they're learning from this Pharisee, and, you know, they're going to stay in a nice place. But Jesus says, "You know what? Oh, I'm tired. This looks like a good spot for the evening. Hey, let's get a little campfire going here, and we're going to camp out." Because Because Jesus does not look for all the nice things of life. That's why he has no place to lay his head. That's why he just laid it down there. Just like the foxes, man, they have to dig a hole and hide in there, right? Understand what's going on here. That scribe, now we don't know what happened to the scribe, right? We don't know if he continued following Jesus or if he went away sad or anything else. We just don't have that information. We just know that's what Jesus told him. Interesting. Verse 21, another disciple said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. What? Jesus, this guy has to bury a family member. Don't you have a heart? I mean, right? You would think that, right? I mean, I've buried both of my parents already, you know? I know how that is. But there's something that you haven't been told here yet. Jewish customs again. You're going, oh my goodness. It is Jewish custom. Now, if you have a parent that you're going, they may not make it the next year, all right? They're probably going to die in the next year. Jewish custom says the oldest child, if you want to inherit what you're supposed to, you have to be there when your parent dies, or you don't get your inheritance. What? Yeah, I know. That sounds crazy. This guy, this disciple's dad hadn't died yet. He was still alive, but he was failing and probably failing fast. So we don't know if it was going to be like, Jesus, oh, I need a week off. No, he's saying they understand the culture and the customs. It might be up to a year that he's gone. Wow. Now this verse makes more sense, doesn't it? They're not dead yet. It's not like you're going to take one day off and bury him and come back. He wants his inheritance because he was the oldest child. I have to be there. And you see, who supplies all of our needs? Who? Jesus, God. That's who supplies all of our needs. He's wanting his inheritance. So what was going to supply his needs? His inheritance. He was not trusting in Jesus. That's why Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. You want to be with me? You stick with me. You humbled yourself and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? You stick with him. Don't run and hide. Don't allow the cares of this world to come in and pull you away from Jesus. Ooh, sounds like parable of sower and the seed, right? Yeah. Don't allow those things to pull you away from the Master. And you see, this is what was happening here in this passage. This disciple, he wanted his inheritance. Now, did he go? We don't get really much any other information about this guy. So he might have left, he might have stayed, I don't know. But you see, the choice is up to you. Choose you this day who you will serve. Well, you're going to serve God, you're going to serve man. God says, I set before you blessings and cursings. Are you going to choose the blessing? And the things of man is a curse. See, we have to choose. You choose each and every day to follow Christ. You choose each and every day if you're going to do kingdom business. You choose. You choose each and every day whether you will be humble before God or you're going to be prideful before man. You choose. See, you'll notice one thing in here, it doesn't talk about, Lord, take this pride away from me. No. You choose to get rid of it. You choose to humble yourself. That is our choice. Do we want to carry about kingdom business or not? That's our choice. We choose. Because God has a purpose for each and every one of you. Well, I'm 80 years old. And God, how are you going to use me? I don't know. But he still has a purpose for you. Well, you know, I'm only a little kid. God has a purpose for you. Now, not in 20 years, now. That's what you got to know about our God. Living life with Jesus includes healing people, casting out demons, and sleeping wherever you find a spot, and letting the dead bury the dead. If this is the life for you, just ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and live your best life in the kingdom. Can I have the musicians come up? I know. You're going, what? No, that's a little early. Well, I only had a couple of verses here, so I'm good. But I want to say this. Before you leave this place today, if you're sick and need prayer, don't leave until you get it. If you're in here and you're going, you know what? I want to serve Jesus. We'll pray for you, pray with you. Don't leave till you get it. See, if you're leaving here and not getting your needs prayed for, that's on you. But I'm going to tell you right now, as they get prepared to sing, you can come down. We'll pray with you, whatever it may be. Sounds like an altar call. It is. We don't do altar calls very often then. You're right. So I know this is a little uncomfortable for people. But the choice is up to you. In fact, you really don't need to come up front. You can just sit right there and start praying to Jesus and he will heal you. You don't need me. You don't need an in-between person. No, right now. You want to get saved? Ask Jesus in your heart right where you're at. You want to get healed? You ask for him right now, right where you're at. You can come up and have others join with you or not. The choice is up to you. If you're saying, I need to get back into kingdom business, then start praying to the Father. Right where you're at. And as the musicians are singing, you can keep right on praying. Because our God is so powerful, he can hear your prayers and rejoice in the praise all at the same time. That's our God.